It's good to see beautiful faces. I just love to hear the redeemed praise the Lord and worship together. Pastor Darrell, thank you for doing a wonderful job reminding us about being thankful, grateful. So we're thankful for you that you were able to step in and teach us about thanksgiving and thankfulness unto the Lord. I'm going to ask you to find in your Bible from the book of Psalms, Psalm 46, the 46th Psalm. Salmo 46. I just love the book of Psalms. I know it's probably your favorite too. It's a roller coaster of emotions. When I'm sad, I like to read the book of Psalms. When I'm happy, I like to read the book of Psalms. When I'm struggling with things in life, I love to read the book of Psalms. When I don't know where to go, I'm looking for direction, or maybe fear wants to take over, I love to read the book of Psalms. Anybody else? I believe, because Psalms are songs inspired by God, and I believe that when you read the book of Psalms, the Holy Spirit plays on the keyboard of your heart, if you would. And he's done that to me so many different times. The scripture also is going to be on the screen. So if you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. And this is what I want to do this morning. I want to share three things from this psalm. And you're going to see three rhythms of movements here. There are more, but I'm just going to talk about three. And I want to show you what not to do and what to do. Not only what you do not do, but because you're not doing that, then you need to do the other. It's very essential you follow that with me. At the end of the scripture reading, I'm going to ask you to repeat a short prayer with me. And just in case, I just want to read it because if you hear God's word in its completeness, I want to read the whole psalm for continuity and for the beauty of it. It's so beautiful. I don't want to break it down as I'm preaching. I will repeat some of the verses as I preach. But right now, I want us to concentrate on God's beautiful, inspired word. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproars. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he had brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Please close your eyes. And I believe that if you mean this from the bottom of your heart, God will answer this prayer. And repeat after me. Lord, speak to us. We will listen and we will obey. In your name, amen. You may be seated. What do we do in times of fear? Where do we find refuge? If you're old enough, I'm not calling out people, but if you're old enough, I need not remind you what fear is because you lived through September 11th, 2001. And I say that because when I was teaching the young people in our church, some of them didn't even know what 9/11 was. It was just a dial for a police or an ambulance. In fact, some of them didn't even know what Y2K was. Anybody remembers Y2K? You guys are with me. We're the old people from the old century. I got you. But I need not tell you what fear is. You probably still remember where you were, amen? You probably still remember what you were doing and who you were with. You did not forget it. 9/11 is one of those days that forever will live in infamy. In fact, the world in which we live now is terrorized by fear. Notice that the word terror implies fear in and of itself. All you got to do is read the newspaper. Come on, if you still read newspapers. All you got to do is watch the news. Let me tell you, just watch the Weather Channel and you'll be terrorized. I remember, he's not here today, but my first grandson, Joshua, when he was about 3 years old, he was watching the Weather Channel. He knew Adeline and I had gone out, and then he saw on the Weather Channel that there were tornadoes. So he asked his mom, Aisling, please call Mima, that's what he calls her, and please call Mamo, and they did, and they put Joshua on the phone. He said, Mima, Mamo, come home. There's a tomato out there. Even the Weather Channel. I mean, look what's going on around the world. Earthquakes, tsunamis. All these things are happening simultaneously. Oh, it's almost as if fear is a driving force or even a fascination. I know you might not want to admit it, but all of us here, or most of us here, had faced and had days of anxiety, stress, where your nerve endings are just clicking all over the place, and you don't know how to deal with them. The fact of the matter is, if you're honest, that most people have some sort of fear or phobia. Now, even though I'm going to tell you how to find refuge in fear, I'm not going to just talk about fear today. Maybe some other time I'm going to go right into that. But be honest, some of us have some fear. I have some daughters that have arachnophobia. Anybody? Fear of spiders. I have a wife who fears acrophobia, fear of heights, claustrophobia. There's all kinds of stuff going on just the way we've been built. So I'm not talking about that. I just want to throw that in for the future. But our text this morning reminds us something. Reminds us of the fact that even if kingdoms fall, even if the earth quakes, even if mountains fall, even if waters roar and buildings collapse, we have a place in God that we can call refuge. Even if cities are destroyed, even if governments fail and kingdom falls, we have a refuge. I mean, it sounds like I'm just telling you what's going on around the world. But really, there's nothing on this earth that we can really, really rely upon perfectly to find refuge. There's no place where you can run for true safety on this earth. We have seen institutions. We have seen, no matter how powerful they seem to be, they become vulnerable. The fact of the matter is that the world in which we live offers us neither true safety nor any firm place where we can stand. So when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, turn to this psalm. When you think you cannot go on, turn to this psalm. When you feel fear coming on you, turn to this psalm. I really believe that this psalm is the inspiration from that famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Thy God. I want you to see three things. Number one, we will not fear, but then we will trust. Again, I want you to see it's really important that you just do not concentrate only on what we do not do, but also on what we do do. I see a lot of us struggles with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And a lot of times this, I'm not going to think about that. All the time thinking about what you're not supposed to do and trying not to do what you're not supposed to do. And then you end up doing what you're not supposed to do. But if you do what you're supposed to do, most of the times you don't have enough time to do what you're not supposed to do. So here it is right here. We will not fear. What are we going to do instead? We will trust. For God is our refuge, our strength. Look at verses 1 through 3. It deals with changes in nature. If you were reading that, you saw the awesomeness of the creation that our great God. And he talks about, and the psalmist says, I will not fear because God is my refuge, my strength. Even though the world around me may be shaken, I will not fear. Listen to it again. God is our refuge and strength. and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because of this, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. I know what you're thinking. No, I did not read mine, but I if I were where you are and you were me and I were listening to you, I would be thinking, but how could that possibly be? So you might be asking, as a pastor or angel, how could that possibly, are we supposed to deny our emotions? Are we supposed to deny what goes around us? Are we supposed to be naive about our circumstances? I got one word answer for you. You ready for it? No. Let me say it in Spanish. No. The Bible does not want us to be in denial. So what I need you to do, I need you to bear with me and hold to your horse. Hold on to your horses if you would, because I'm going to come back to this later. For now, just put on your spiritual seatbelt because we're going for a ride. Now, the word fear is found 454 times in the Bible. Out of the 454 times, 365 times it says fear not, one for every day of the year. And when you read it and when you study it, you come to one inescapable conclusion. But before I give you that conclusion, let me just give you some samples. Don't worry, I'm not going to read 454 verses for you. Not even 355. But just follow me. You might be one, you might want to take some notes in case later you want to read this. But in the book of Genesis, Joseph feared God, and God exalted him, and through him, God saved the people of Israel. Because Joseph feared God. In the book of Exodus, the midwives feared God more than Pharaoh. That's what the Bible says. And because they feared God more than Pharaoh, they did not kill the male children. In the book of Deuteronomy in itself, there are more than 15 times where we hear the words of God, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. In the book of Joshua 24:14, it says, now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. See, not only fear him, don't be afraid, but also serve him in sincerity and in truth. In the book of Proverbs, we're told that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Let me just jump over to the New Testament. Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus speaking says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Revelation 19:5, the very last book of the Bible. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. So here's the bottom line. Here's the principle. When you fear God, you need not fear anybody else. When you fear God, you don't need to fear anything because God is your refuge. And this principle is found not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. But how could it be that the psalmist says that? Why wouldn't I be afraid if the mountains are removed? Last week we had some storms, right? Even the church lost power. To be clear, it was only consumers' power because we never lose Holy Spirit power. And some of you went days without power, and you were concerned about your basement flooding. I know, I've been there. I know what was going on, right? So you are asking, how could I not be afraid if the mountains are removed? My daughter sent me a picture of my grandchildren in the basement taking shelter of refuge because they were afraid of the thunder and the lightning and what they heard on the news. I mean, how could you not be afraid if the sea is being, the earth is shaking and tsunamis and floods and waters are roaring? Why would I not be afraid? Well, I'm glad you ask. Number one, I will not, you will not, we will not be afraid, because even if the mountains be moved, we know the one who made the mountains. Number two, if a tsunami comes, we know the one who measures the oceans with the span of his hand. If the waters are troubled, how many of you know that Jesus walks on water? If the storm comes, we know the one who can say, peace, be still, and the storm has to obey. That's why Christians don't talk to the stars. Why talk to the stars if we can talk to the one who made the stars? If we can talk to the one who breathed stars out of power? Now, I've abused this illustration for many years, and I think I'm going to continue to abuse this illustration. So please, if you heard me say this before, wherefore will you hear it again and pretend like you didn't hear it before? This illustration comes from the 1990s when we used to watch VeggieTales. Anybody ever watch the VeggieTales? I still remember Larry and Bob and Junior the Asparagus. And some of you know that when I do my research for preaching, yeah, I read commentaries, I read sermons, I read the Bible so many times, different translations over, try to do what Pastor Darrell does, go in the original language and do my due diligence. But I've learned also to watch cartoons. I know, I just lost some points there with Darrell, sorry. Because sometimes the cartoons get it right and the movies do not get it right. That's why I like to say, don't judge a book by its movie. I mean, this has happened to me before, and this time I think I got it and they got it, because when you try to explain something to children, you do your very best to keep it simple, right? And when you try to keep it simple, you don't get so complicated. So I think the VeggieTales, as you could put the VeggieTales right there if you remember that. This is the one that won me over, because when they first came out, I didn't like Larry, I didn't like Bob. But when they came up with God is bigger than the boogeyman, oh, I seen you watched it too, huh? And I won't play it for you. I will try to sing a little bit for you, and that takes a lot of courage for me, so you know. But little Asparagus Jr. stay late watching scary movies. His mom says, go to sleep. He says, in the classical way of children, 4 more minutes, Mom. Mom says, I've already, that's what you said last time. Come on up. So he goes up, goes in the room. He's been watching all these scary movies, and then he realizes that shadows, noises, and he's really scared. But here comes the tomato, not the tornado, the tomato, Bob. And then Larry the cucumber comes out, and he said, we're here because you are afraid. He said, well, I'm not really afraid. He said, yes, you are. What are you going to do? He said, I was going to call the police. And he said, there's no need for that. Why? So they begin to sing this. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman. And he watches for you and me. Didn't they get it right? They did. I know you're clapping not because I was singing, but you're clapping because I stopped singing. But they got it right. God is bigger than anything you could imagine. He's the greatest. He controls the universe with the power of his word. That's why I could go to sleep at night knowing that he is in charge. I'm not in charge. Let me tell you, Washington is not in charge. Hollywood is not in charge. I got to be honest with you. I remember, I'm sorry for my interpreter here because I didn't tell you I was going to say this. But when 9/11 happened, the church on Center Road, Flint, there by Davidson and Center Road, Central Baptist Church, we opened the doors. And 24-hour prayer, man, church was getting packed. People were so afraid. They were terrorized, no pun intended. And then they were coming in. And I remember hearing people pray, and I'm praying myself, let Washington keep the power. Let Hollywood keep the fame. Let Wall Street keep the money, but give us Jesus. And it's like we finally got it, right? We finally got it. And I need to tell the church, the answer is not in the schoolhouse. The answer is not in the courthouse. The answer is not even in the White House. The answer is in the God house, who trusts in God as his refuge. I'm not saying that we need to forsake that and neglect it. God is going to call all of us to be involved in something. Be involved in that. I appreciate the teens that are getting ready and helping our nation. So I'm not saying you just throw it out with the baby with the bathwater. No. But I'm saying that we better realize that our refuge has to be the one that is forever, the one who is the creator, the one who is eternal. He cannot be shaken. So we will not fear. We are going to realize that God is bigger than the boogeyman's, bigger than my bills and my student loans. I heard somebody right now. Bigger than my problems. We will trust in what the Bible says. We will trust in him. Number two, we will not be moved, but we will stand. Notice that. We're going to be unmovable because we will stand, for God is our fortress. Verses 4 and 7. And now he goes from speaking about nature to speaking about what's going on in the society. And he says, I will not be moved, even though nations are falling apart, even though society is deteriorating, because God is my refuge and my strength, I will not be moved. Here it is in the words of the psalmist, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. He will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. I just think about that. God melts the earth with his voice. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord is our fortress. The Lord is the only fortress that you and I must flee for refuge and strength. It's the only one we can count on. And the only one that assures us there's nothing more to be afraid of. God, he said, is our ever-present help in time of trouble. What will be our response to having this mighty fortress to run to? What was the response of the psalmist? He says, because I got God as my fortress, I will not fear. I will stand. Because I got God as my fortress, I got a place where I could go, where I could be in his presence. Why? Because God was on his side. God is on our side, and all nations one day will bow to him. I want to show you a picture right now. This is a true castle. This is not fake. This is, in Spanish, we call it El Morro, or the whole name, San Felipe del Morro. It's a castle that is almost 500 years old. 500 years old. It's a little older than me. It's become a historic site and a tourist attraction now, but it's been there for almost 500 years. Can you imagine all the wars that were fought? In fact, when Adelina and I were there about 13 years ago, we learned that it survived. Listen what it survived. The First and the Second World Wars. Can you imagine in all those years, all the storms and earthquakes and hurricanes and natural disasters that it has faced, and it still stands, which goes to prove that they built better before than they do now. I mean, you could go. Some of you have been there with me. How many of you want to go with me? Okay, you pay my flight. I'll be your tour guide. But what he's been through, not only through nature, but all the social changes, the Spaniards, the conquistadors, the explorers, the liberation period. In fact, the Spanish-American War, that's how Puerto Rico became a U.S. territory. The U.S. took it from Spain, and now I'm yours. And you are mine, and we are his. That's more important. But imagine that. All that he went through, still standing. You could go walk it. It'll take you hours and hours. They have dungeons. They have all kinds of things. It feels like a blast to the past. But it stands when you have a true fortress. And God is your true fortress, your mighty fortress. Let me tell you, you will stand. You will not be moved. You will not fear. You will trust. Says it right there very clearly. Not only we will not fear, but we will trust. We will not be moved. We will stand. But last, he says, we will not be stressed. We will be still, for I know he is God. Now, is the fear thing that didn't touch you? Okay, maybe you are You don't fear anything. You're just a superhuman. Maybe if the fortress thing didn't touch you, I don't know, maybe you're stronger than Superman and Mighty Mouse. But this one here gets every one of us because he's going to talk about stress. Have you ever been stressed? Oh, Pastor, if I tell you the truth, I've been stressed of being stressed, and I've been overwhelmed by stress. I wish I could tell you what we call that in Spanish. I'm going to spare you from that. But, I mean, we've all faced it. But he says we will be still in the midst of stress and chaos. So in verses 8 through 11, finally in the last verses, the psalmist sits back. It's almost as if just, let me have a seat. He's just going to relax. And after everything that he has seen in society, after everything that he has seen in nature, he says, I will not let stress ruin my life anymore. I'm going to relax, I'm going to be still and transform my life, change gears, and get on with what God wants for me. You know that you can let stress control you? And then when you get all stressed out, you can stress other people, pastors included. But the psalmist says, this is not what's going to happen here. I'm going to see what the Lord has to say. Look at verses 8 through 11. I'm almost finished. Come and see. I love that invitation. Just come and see. You know how many people have come to our church because I just simply said, come and see? Or one word in Spanish, sígueme, which means follow me. Here it is. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he had brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and he burns the shields with fire. He says this. Look at what God says. Be still and know that I am God. There's more to that, but I want to say this part again because some of us need to really hear that. Stop it. Relax. God's got this. Be still. Let God work in you what he's already worked within you. Work out of you what he put in you. The good work he started in you, how many of you know he will finish it too? He's faithful to complete it indeed. Sometimes God asks of us to do something that doesn't make any sense. Like for you, said, Pastor, if you only knew my situation, you would not dare. You would not even tell me to be still. If you only knew the level of stress, I'm on DEFCON 1. Let's say, if you ask me on scale of 1 to 10, where is my stress level? It's on 27. Pastor, if you only knew that, you wouldn't ask me to be still. But let me tell you something. Sometimes, and in my case, it's been a lot of times, Jesus asks of you something that doesn't make sense, like maybe putting water into wine containers where people are expecting wine. Water! Jesus, they want wine. I said water. They don't want water. They want wine. They ran out of wine at the wedding at Cana, which is the first miracle that Jesus did publicly. And I said, just trust me. Put water in the containers. And when you do what Jesus says to do, guess what? He changes water into wine. So when you take your stress, even though you just became so attached to it, when you take what's troubling you, what's hurting you, what they've been saying about you, and you bring it to the Lord, say, Lord, can you take my water and turn it into wine? Lord, can you take my anxiety and turn it into peace? After all, you're the Prince of Peace. Lord, can you help me be still? Guess what? He can do that. Jesus will ask of you for something that forces you, that forces us to take a step of faith, to trust him with all our heart, and to be obedient. Now, don't show the picture yet. I'm going to show you an old picture where I look young, where I look skinny. Edelín still looks beautiful and skinny and everything else. But this is, you could put the picture up now. This is when we first came to Flint. Look at that handsome, that beautiful woman there. This is 24 years ago on Franklin Avenue, Flint, Michigan. The other guy there, his name is also Angel. So you have Pastor Angel talking to Mechanic Angel and inviting him to church. We were just walking down Flint. Nobody told us how dangerous he was. I guess you could say we were fearless. But we came here because God called us to Flint. You know, we were in Connecticut, and some of, I can see the testimonies of some of them, some of the pastors who are here, how God brought you here. And this is going to resonate, and we're going to bond right now, because when God calls you and he tells you to do something, and you know it's going to take a miracle or it's going to take a special act of God, and you're like, oh, this is going to stress me out. So, no, be still, I got this. 24 years ago, I was pastoring a church in Willimantic, Connecticut. Connecticut, Willimantic. Willie who? It's not a person, it's a city. It's about 10 minutes away from UConn, University of Connecticut. Husky, everybody knows that, right? We had all kinds of students coming into our church. And we were happy there. Our church was growing. We were just getting ready to buy a property because we want to build a brand new building looking like this one. Maybe you guys copy from me. I mean, we had the plans and all that. God was just blessing us. People were getting saved. Things were going well. Other numbers indicated that things were going good. But then God put something new in my heart. See, I was a pastor, a church planter, and also a state correctional chaplain working in the prison system in Connecticut. And I was, by the grace of God, God allowed me to lead so many people to Christ in the facilities where I worked. I was in a minefield. Could you imagine? They threw me in there. I go look around. Some people said, oh, get me out of here. There's nobody safe there. I called up, Lord, I'm so glad you brought me here. There's nobody safe here. We could save them all. Big difference, right? We were happy. And I get out of prison. I'm driving home. It used to take me 45 minutes to get home. And I'm singing my Spanish choruses. Vamos escalando perdón. Vamos cargando la cruz. I'll stop there. And then, you wanted some more. That's an extra charge later. Those who know Spanish, you know, this psalm that we're reading, 46, we used to sing it in church right from the Bible, because the church in the beginning, we didn't have money to buy hymnals, so we used the psalms as hymnals. You guys remember this? Dios es nuestro amparo, nuestra fortaleza, nuestro pronto auxilio en la tribulación. Aunque se traspasen los montes a la mar, aunque la tierra tiemble, tenemos que confiar. I just sang to you the whole, most of the psalm right there. And so let me get back. Got out of prison. I'm singing those songs. And right there, I remember the spot, Route 66 going up the hill. Right there, remember it. God placed in my heart that he wanted to do something new. And I didn't want that. I didn't want to change. I like my life the way it is. We're going on cruise control, Jesus. I mean, why change it? Things are going well. They're not going bad. So I knew I couldn't deny it. God had asked me to put water in those containers, and it didn't make sense to me. So I get home. My wife used to wait for me. Every time I got out of prison, she was there waiting for me at the house. So I opened the door. There she is, looking so angelic. And the first thing I tell to the lady is, God wants to do something new in our lives. And she said, I kid you not, we're not moving. What a spiritual answer. I think she used the word ain't. We ain't moving. I said, well, all I could do is pray to God that he will give you the same conviction he's given me. And I'm going to have to shorten the story. There's more to it. But we started prayer walking around this place for a couple of weeks. After 2 weeks, she was singing the same song I was singing. Didn't make sense. No way you could look at it. We came to Flint, Michigan, June 25th, 2001, not knowing anybody. I had to drag my daughters, Evelise, Aislinn, and Crystal. I know Crystal's watching. She's here. But I had to drag them. They didn't want to leave their family. They didn't want to leave their schools, their church. I dragged them here. Forgive me. I was obeying God. Aislinn's here too, by the way. You can talk to them after the service. But do not tell him anything personal of me, please. It's just a secret. I dragged him here. We didn't know anybody. We got here. I said, I don't know anybody here. Who's going to help me? Nobody wanted to help us. We had to do service. We had to clean the church. We had to cut the grass. We had to do it all. My girls cleaned the church more than anybody I know in their lives. Talk about being PKs. I mean, it was a struggle. And after a while, the pastors in the area, I would not mention names nor the association with which I was affiliated. Stop it, angels. Do you know what they said? I remember because he came out in such a spiritual voice, like from the King James Bible. I give him 6 months. 24 years later, hello. I heard it. They said it right in my face. At one point, we were almost homeless, remember? We had no place to go. I began to stress out a little bit. Oh, Lord, it's okay if I'm homeless. I know what to do. I'm going to stop at the end of the exit when people come out of the highway, hold the sign. You know what it would say? I preach for food. I had it all planned out. But my girls and my wife, and at that time I had 3 chihuahuas. They need to be mentioned. Peachy, Pinky, and Princess. I almost forgot about Princess. I mean, they were part of the family. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I said, what am I? I was going to call my dad. He was still alive. Pop, send me some money. I got to go back home. I don't want to be homeless here. We don't know that many people here. And God worked it out in such a way. And even though things didn't happen the way they happened in New England, because God had a different plan for New England than he did here in Michigan, I can tell you that God has been the same. He is still my refuge, my fortress, and my help. But how are we as Christians supposed to react to all this? The psalmist says, I will not be afraid in the midst of all that I have decided, that I will no longer let my life be filled with stress and anxiety. Why? I'm almost finished. Because God is my refuge and my strength. God is my help, my hiding place. God fights my wars. He defeats my enemy. God is on my side. But better yet, I'm on God's side. That's the right side to be. God says anxiety is useless, needless, and faithless. I'm just going to read this. You can write this down. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when fear and worry, anxiety invades our own hearts, I have these comforting words from the one who is in charge. Be still and know that I am God. He's going to show you that he's God. And I will be exalted among the nations. That means all the nations of the ethnicities of the world will know that he's God. He will be exalted in all the earth. Friends, this is your comfort. My mighty fortress is our God. Now as I finish, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, please. I told you I was going to come back to something, remember? That we were struggling with the idea, how could I be in denial and be naive? I mean, I'm feeling what I'm feeling. The asparagus was really scared until the tomato showed up and started singing, God is bigger than the boogeyman, right? How could I deny? And this is it right here. Follow me here. This is a verse you want to take with you. Psalm 56:3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Notice this, your emotions, your feelings, what you're facing. How do you feel? Whenever I'm afraid, I'm going to let my will trust in God and take over. I'm going to trust in the Lord. You see, we're human beings, and we face all these things. Some of you have faced so many difficult things just last month, just last week, and it's amazing how you stand and you're not moved because the Lord is your fortress. And you say, well, when I feel afraid, I'm going to trust in God. You see, you cannot prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from making a nest on your head. That's not mine. That's from Martin Luther, the reformer. Fear is all like, nye, nye, nye. If I could see it, I'll see it. Nye. anxiety, fear, struggle, problems, bills, homelessness, no food, no car, all these. Let it fly over your head. Just don't let it make a nest over. And say, when I feel afraid, whenever I feel afraid, I will trust in you. If you're physically able, please stand as we conclude. This is my invitation to you. Leave fear behind today. I want to invite you this morning to leave anxiety here. Don't take it home. I want to challenge you to allow trust to invade your being. That is trust in God, and allow that faith, that trust, that perfect love of God that casts away your fears. If you have considered anything else other than God as your hiding place, no good. Change it. If you have considered anything else other than God as your refuge and strength, I ask you this morning to remember that for the believer, God is our refuge, our strength, and help in times of trouble. The greatest decision you will make today, and for that matter in your life, is to make Jesus your refuge, is to make Jesus your mighty fortress by trusting him to be your Savior and Lord. Your Savior wants to deliver you from the wages of sin, which is death. For we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But when you put your faith in him and him alone by grace, he makes you, follow me now, unmovable and able to stand. He makes you be able to face stress and be still. And you will not stress about your eternal destiny anymore, because you'll be secured in Jesus, and you will know that he is your God, your Lord and Savior, who died on Calvary's cross, was buried on a borrowed tomb, but after 3 days, he rose again. After 3 days, victoriously, triumphantly, and gloriously ascended to heaven. And guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back for his own. Would you ask Jesus, if you haven't done so, to forgive you of all your sins? Would you accept his gracious and merciful payment of your sin debt, our debt, on our behalf? This is between you and God, and it's very simple. I'm going to ask everybody, close your eyes for now. This is between, if you already made your peace with God and you came to Christ, just pray with me that others who are listening today will be able to make that decision that determines eternal destiny. So right now, if you have not yet made Jesus your eternal refuge as your Lord and Savior, right now in your heart, just ask him simply. Just say, Lord Jesus, you can say it in your heart, please forgive me. I believe you died for me to save me. I confess you with my mouth as Lord, and I believe in my heart that you rose from the grave so that I can live forevermore with you in heaven. In your name, and God's people say, talk to me, I'll be in the foyer. Bless you.